We actually have a poll to this effect, to this question. It's a poll today brought to you by Roofing Nation. Get a brand new roof for as low as $79.
And Simi thing, I'm not telling you got to feel that way, but don't come at me when I tell you that I think that the kid needs time just to play.
We're not saying he's LeBron James now. I've never heard you say that.
That's it. Oh, my God. You hear what you want to hear.
Brought to you by Roofing Nation. Call Roofing Nation today at 833-4NATION or visit roofingnation.com. Here's the poll. Based off of the argument you and I just had, I guess about a half hour ago, who are you giving more credit to for the offensive success of the Eagles in the last 3 weeks? Pretty tight here in early polling, Anthony. 56% say Nick Foles, 44% say Doug Peterson. I can give him credit to both guys.
I'm not saying that he's got nothing to do with it. I said that Foles.
Yeah.
Deserves. I've seen, like, when I saw against the Texans was an incredible game by Nick Foles.
471 yards.
Like, where he's throwing, passes up to Alshon Jeffrey, who's making incredible catches. Like, the feather throws. Like, I thought Foles played amazingly against the Texans, taking shots, standing in there and taking shots.
Coming up at 11:30, we're going to talk to. One bad thing about Keith Byers. He went to the Ohio State University.
Medical reject.
Had to get Ohio State. I love Byers.
Remember that story?
Yeah.
Of the draft? The buddy calling him medical reject?
Yeah. He's huge hands.
He was an amazing player. Oh, my God. He was a great blocker. He
became like more of a tight end later in his career.
He did, yeah.
After Keith Jackson left and went to Green Bay.
Yeah.
But it came in as that running back.
41.
Yeah. Could a player like him, could he have played today? Would he have been fast enough? He was so big and strong, and he
But remember the foot. Like, he was a great player in college.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He was a halfback. Like, he wasn't.
He
got bigger later. I mean, yeah. he was your bigger back. He was Eddie George.
Yeah, I guess at Ohio State he was, yeah. But then in the NFL, and he transitioned into, like, a big, thick body. And, you know, you put him at the end of the line of scrimmage.
Well, toward the end he became that.
Yeah.
But remember, when he first few years.
I gotta go back and look at
his
numbers.
He was a really good pass catcher. Mm-hmm. Great hands.
Oh, yeah. Especially for a big guy.
Yeah, he runs screens. Mm-hmm. Like, you know. It's a shame because of the medical technology today, he would have been a lot better. He would have been a lot better.
Yeah.
But because the foot would have been healed and he could have been a lot better player, better runner.
Yeah, I gotta go back and look at his stats because you'll probably see that his rushing stats go down and his receiving stats go up as you get in the later part of his career. But he did play for a while.
Yeah, he did. No, he did.
I mean, 1986 all the way to 98, 12-year career.
For a running back.
Yeah. Yeah, that's long. No doubt about it. 610-632-0975. Couple open lines first time today. Damian in Philly joins us on the Fanatic. How you doing, Damian?
Hello?
Damian, what's up, buddy?
Yeah, how you doing?
What's up, Dame?
Yeah, how's it going this morning? No, I'm just calling because, like you, and I'm very fascinated with this Foles magic type of deal. It's just fascinating because, you know, he's been in the league for a while. In these last 2 years, he's played at an unprecedented level. And I'm trying to pinpoint how is that possible? You know what I mean? Like, how is it possible? You know,
what do you think? Let me ask you, like, when you're watching this thing, because when you see, like, again, like, you know, like he's got talent, but he doesn't have elite talent, right? Like of what we see. But
well,
maybe he does,
you do get late bloomers, you know, maybe it started to come together for him. He started seeing so much. He was around a lot of good offensive coaches and then it just slowed down for him.
Yeah.
You know, to where now,
that's a good point.
Everything is not like racing. So everything just slows down for him, and he's able to grasp.
Yeah,
that's the only thing I can think. And yeah, he's not as talented as Wentz. Obviously, you know, Wentz to me is the guy. But when you look at like Nick Foles, remember some of the greatest quarterbacks of all time wasn't physically talented. I mean, Peyton Manning didn't have the greatest arm. Nor did Montana, and look at Drew Brees. They're not physically gifted with just unbelievable skills, but they just have that mental toughness. And I'm not comparing Nick Foles to those guys. Don't get me wrong, but it's just something about their mental makeup and their ability to, I guess, to just to recognize things quick And I guess the way they prepared,
recall and recognition, Damian.
You made a great point about the game slowing down.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can see. It's slowing down.
I'm so fascinated by it. It's such an interesting story about how a guy comes in and has this kind of success.
Right, because you can make a case for it for like maybe a couple of games. All right, he's lucky. But then when you start seeing, it's not like he's doing it out of luck. You can see that some of the throws he makes is like talented throws. It's not, it's just talent. You know, I mean, I could just look at the, I guess it was the one throw he threw to Aguilar where he was just stepped up in the pocket. And this is against the Texans. And he took that deep shot. Uh-huh. That was a beautiful throw, and that's, his deep ball, it has got a lot better. True. It wasn't always that good. It got better.
He had a higher arc on it, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I think that's a great point about the game slowing down.
And he's got another thing going for him. He's got supreme confidence now.
Yeah,
he had the crisis of confidence earlier in his career. He's talked about it.
Yeah, he had it last year. Yeah, I'll tell you one thing that's huge for him and this offense. Huge. The weather's going to be temperate.
Mm-hmm. It's not going to be a Chicago January day.
Right. No, I think that's huge. You remember, now again, it didn't mean anything, so I don't want to put too much stock into it, but do you remember the Christmas Eve game last year against the Raiders?
Oh, God.
All right, you remember how cold it was?
Oh, yeah, now I remember, yeah.
It was freezing, it was windy, and Nick struggled.
There's a couple of times through his career where it's been cold, he's really struggled.
Yeah, right. And it's funny because the NFC Championship game was balmy.
Yeah, well,
for January. Remember?
Yeah. Okay. No, you're right.
So I think. Listen, it's hard for any quarterback to play in the cold, but I think it could be tougher for him, especially when he uses air for his throws. Like he's a pillow thrower, right?
Yeah.
So the fact that it's not as windy will help him. It's not like he's Favre who's throwing fire at guys, it cuts it through the
driving.
Wind.
Yeah. Well, remember the really awful game he had the one year against the Cowboys, and it was wet and cold.
Yeah.
It was horrible in that game. He's just not a mutter. If you got decent weather,
well, I think it's right. And if it's cold and windy, and that affects just about any quarterback. But I think we've seen it affect him. The fact that in Chicago, Sunday is going to be. And I was on this morning with those guys, and they said it's going to be in the 40s.
Now,
high 30s.
One of your favorite guys, Brett Favre, speaking.
I want to hear about this. This is he and Doug are really good friends.
Yeah. Going back to when he was the backup in Green Bay.
Again, going back, did you see one of the great interviews was during last year's Super Bowl when Favre was talking about Doug?
Because I can.
And Favre was saying how. He had the line that I felt was the best about Doug. He said that he always knew what to say.
What to verbalize to Brett?
He always knew what to say, the right thing to say to anyone. He said that Favre said that Doug always said the right thing, always had the perfect thing to say.
Really?
Which makes sense,
right?
Which
is a coaching thing too, right?
Yes. Yeah,
big time. And which is why his players, I mean, after that game against the Saints, a lot of guys in the NFL would pack up and go, okay, it's just not our year. And you looked at it and you go, we just won a Super Bowl. Nobody's going to kill us for it, right? We just had a parade. Everybody's still drunk and hungover from that.
Yeah.
Nobody would have blamed them.
Yeah.
But they didn't. And they rallied since that game. It's crazy.
Yeah.
To keep that locker room together. And we heard some reports that maybe the locker room was fracturing. It didn't.
Well, and you're going to hear, we'll hear from Favre coming up, and he talks about that stuff. When we were talking about it earlier, and I feel bad, I'm not taken away from Doug as a play caller, offensive guy. I'm giving him more credit because that's more important. The most important thing of a coach is to be a coach.
To be the overseer of everyone.
That's the most important thing. You got to be a coach. You can't let your team quit on you. These offensive guys, like Ben McAdoo, is a really sharp offensive guy.
Terrible coach.
But unfortunately, there's circumstances and stuff, but unfortunately, it didn't work out for him, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the big picture, as a head coach, I think these young dudes.
Adam Gase.
These guys could be really, really smart and be like offensive gurus, but, you know, they're not great leaders. The thing about Doug, and this is the thing that Phil didn't understand what I was trying to talk about, is that Doug is a better coach than he is an offensive coordinator.
610-632-0975. At the bottom of the hour, we'll hear from the aforementioned Keith Byers. He'll join us. And coming up at 12:30, we'll talk to Mike North from Chicago and D-Gun at 1:30. It's a jam-packed show today. 610-632-0975. And we'll play that Brett Favre audio coming up. I can't wait to hear it. Stay tuned. That's on the way. It's the midday show. We're back after this. But I got to tell you about this epic matchup in college football. Alabama-Clemson. For all the marbles, big a lot at stake, obviously. FanDuel Sportsbook, they're offering a can't-miss deal exclusively for my listeners who haven't tried FanDuel Sportsbook yet. How about this? 100-1 odds on the national championship game. That's right. New users will get 100-1 odds for the first $500 of your bet on either team to win outright when you bet on FanDuel Sportsbook. Now, you can't miss this. Just go to FanDuel.com/college to find out how you can get the 100-1 odds on your national championship money line. Now, I can't wait to see how this game's going to play out. It's going to be a I think it's going to be a close game. Clemson's got a shot. I know it's going to be a close one. So don't forget, you can get the 100-1 odds on either team to win when you place a $500 money line bet on FanDuel Sportsbook. Just go to FanDuel.com/college to get your exclusive national championship odds. That's FanDuel.com/college. Max bonus $500. Must not have previously placed any wager using your FanDuel Sportsbook account. Bonus issued as site credit. Must wager amount equal to site credit before winnings can be withdrawn. Must be 21 or older and present in New Jersey. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Go to FanDuel.com/college for all the terms and conditions.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
O'clock hour brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. All right, I got to hear it. I need to hear this Brett Favre because it's great stuff. It's great stuff. Take a listen.
Very close friend of mine, and there were several stretches throughout this year where he did not return any messages to me. Understandably so. It was a trying time for him. And I'm with you. You know, after that Saints game, I mean, they got just absolutely destroyed. And what I saw was a team who'd really thrown in the towel, had nothing left in the tank, and really had gone south. And, you know, like most, if I were a bet man, I would have put my money that they are done. But when I watched the Rams game, I said, boy, if they get in, you know, look out, because no one's going to want to play them. And to me, That's the whole thing about the playoffs. And I don't think anyone, whether you're an Eagles fan or not, can look at the Eagles and not say right now they're the hottest team in football. And to me, they're playing very, very similar to how they played at the end last year. And that's frightening because we know how that ended up. And so, yeah, Foles is a little banged up. But, you know, the odds have been against them all year long. And they have defied the odds, and they've gotten themselves into the tournament. I would not be surprised if the Eagles don't make a run at this thing.
Wow, it's fire!
Let's dig into that real quick. Because he said they look like the team right now that they were last year heading into the playoffs. We know all the injuries last year, the underdog thing. And you talked about it, I think, yesterday, saying they weren't favored in any of their playoff games last year. The Atlanta game, Atlanta was a slight favorite. I think it was like 1.5 or 2 at Lincoln Financial Field. And then Minnesota coming off that miracle win over the Saints when the Diggs touchdown comes in. They weren't favored in that game. Then obviously they weren't favored in the Super Bowl. Is this team as good as it was last heading into the playoffs this year as it was last year?
It's a great question. How about this? You would say that because last year happened that they're in a better situation?
Because of the experience.
Right.
But yeah,
so, I mean, point. I think that's the overriding factor. If you just go with sheer personnel, you say pluses. You would say Sproles plus.
Big plus.
You would say
Peters.
Peters. I'm just yes. Okay, let's just go offense first, right? Sproles, Peters, Lane Johnson's playing better. You have Golden Tate, different. So it's a new addition.
Yeah.
You would have, oh, am I missing somebody offensively? Bennett defensively. Young secondary fortifying defensively.
Yeah.
They're all pluses, right?
Vontae, yeah, I would think so. Yeah.
All right. The negative would be no Ajayi.
Blunt.
No LeGarrette Blunt. No Torrey Smith.
Yeah, Torrey Smith, Celek. And maybe Derek Barnett.
Goddard's a plus.
Yeah, that is a big plus. Not in the blocking game as much as it is in the passing game, but if they can really figure out how to put Ertz and Ertz is frankly a plus. He's been better this year than he was last year, although he was great last year.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. You might get Wallace back. I mean, I think that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I think that's a big deal.
Yeah, and the experience factor is a huge deal. I believe in that experience thing, too. I think that's a big factor in the NFL playoff. Because what's that old like kind of adage that, well, you need to lose before you can win in the NFL playoffs? We preached it with the Andy Reid era. And then we said, okay, we've lost enough. Can we please win now? But sometimes that is the case, that you got to get to the playoffs because it's overwhelming at first for a lot of people. And we saw that there's recent examples to cite. The Goff one last year. Dak in his rookie year when they went 13-3. That was a good Cowboys team. Got knocked out in the first round, you know, with that great offensive line and the running of Zeke. That was behind that more than anything. But there's examples of that. And it's a factor. So are they as equipped this year as they were last year? Now they got to go on the road and they got to play an extra game.
Well, that's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
I mean, going on the road and having to play another game is a huge deal.
Yeah.
Well, Giants did it twice.
Yeah. They finished 9-7 both times they did it.
They did it twice. They did it. And the second time they went through, remember Green Bay won?
Yeah.
And they went into Green Bay. Eli throws like a Hail Mary right before halftime.
Uh huh.
And Rodgers and them could never get it started again.
Wow.
And the Packers had been defending champions.
Yeah, and then the one year they beat the 18-0.
Well, that was right. That was Spags' year.
The first year
they lose to the. It's a great run. They lose to the Patriots the last Sunday of the game. Right,
mm-hmm.
Last Sunday of the season, Sunday night they decide to play all their players. They lose. They go into Tampa. They beat the Buccaneers. Then they go into Dallas. They beat the Cowboys. Then they go and play Favre in a blizzard. You remember that?
Favre's
like it was last run with the Packers.
Wow, I forgot about that.
He's in it's a blizzard at Lambeau. He's got the Coughlin had the red nose going.
Yeah, cherry nose.
You had Favre with the runny nose. Favre had the runny nose yeah. going. They win in the snow and blizzard in Green Bay, and then they go beat the unbeaten Patriots. I remember watching
with Randy Moss.
With Mr. Tony at La Veranda.
Oh my God.
Right?
Yeah.
And then the Giants come back that couple years later, and then they beat the Packers in the first game.
Oh my goodness.
And then they go on the same.
At Lambeau.
And they go on the same run.
That's crazy. It totally defied logic, we thought at the time.
So, I don't know. Maybe this is that.
Hmm. Very interesting.
All I know is, like, how could you can't count them out.
No. And in the experience of last year and given everything. And that's why I think the odds have changed in Vegas.
What I don't understand, and listen, you pay attention to it. What I don't understand is why they're six. Mm-hmm. Why the Bears are six.
Steep.
That seems like a really high number. Andrew, doesn't that seem like a high number to you?
Yeah, I thought it would be around 4.5 to start.
Yeah.
And then even maybe move down in the Eagles' favor.
So do I.
Six to start.
And now it's back at six. Yeah. I mean, it went down to five. It's crazy. I mean, if you're looking at the line, you're going, that's a stone Bears line. I mean, big time.
I don't understand it. Like, I think the Bears are really good. Like, I'm not giving you know, green goggles. They're good.
Yeah.
Really good team. But I don't think they're like a first team, like a first time kind of making a run. Should be a 6-point favorite. I know it's at home, but.
Yeah, rookie head coach.
Young quarterback.
Young quarterback, yeah, in a second year. Yeah, I can't. The six is kind of a head scratcher. big time. We'll talk to Keith Byers in a couple minutes. Can't wait to talk to him and reckon back to 30 years ago. What was it, January 2nd? 30 years ago was the day.
Wow.
Of the Fog Bowl. And we'll see how good Keith Byers' memory is in recalling that one and when they pulled into Soldier Field and were blowing the horn.
It was actually on New Year's Eve.
Oh, it was New Year's
Eve. Yeah, New Year's Eve.
Oh.
Isn't that nuts, like how the playoffs started the week before, huh?
They didn't have a bye week then, did they?
No.
When did the bye week come in?
So they didn't have a bye week, and I think, didn't they start at Labor Day weekend?
Yeah. That's exactly right. Because back then, you had football when you were down at the shore. I remember watching on the first...
The first Sunday,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was
Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. I'd like them to go back to that.
Would you?
I'm still fine with the bye week, but I like the Labor Day.
See, I want to push it forward. Because, like, I look at this month, and, like, it's great because you have playoffs.
Yeah.
But look at... As soon as the Super Bowl is over in February, you got nothing. It's a wasteland.
Yeah, you got 3 weeks before... 3 or 4 weeks before the tournament starts.
Yeah, it's a horrible time of year. To me, I'd rather close the gap between tournament and Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Imagine put the Super Bowl on Selection Sunday. I better not keep going or Phil's going to think I'm really crazy.
Yeah, well, it's not a bad idea. I like the adjustment of the sports calendar. I think it needs to be adjusted.
Well, if you had the Super Bowl on Selection Sunday.
Wow.
I know it's probably crazy, but... You know, how great is that? Because you just go football playoffs,
yeah,
right to the tournament, Masters.
Right into baseball season, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. 610-632-0975, that's the number to get in. And let's talk to him now. Let's say the former Philadelphia Eagle, the former Dolphin, played a few years down there,
right? That's
right.
He was a Dolphin.
Yeah, good one.
He was a Dolphin. Number 41 from the Ohio State.
Don't do that. Well, I'm a Big Ten guy.
Number 41, he is the great Keith Byers on the Comcast Business Hotline. What do you say, Keith? Keith, we got you? Oh, no.
Oh, we got him?
There he is. Good morning.
You know, technology, Bluetooth from a car had to kick in.
Oh, I feel you, buddy.
I'll tell you what, the Bluetooth's not working so good.
Oh, man.
I hear you guys loud and clear now. I don't know what you said before. I said hello. I didn't hear anything.
That's okay. Could you do me a favor? Can we call you right back? Because we don't have a good line, so we're going to have to call you right back.
Yeah, Andrew, get you back up real quick. Let's you want to go to Mike in Summerdale real quick while we wait for Keith? Let's do that. Let's go to Mike. What's up, Michael? Mike.
Yes.
You're on the air, buddy.
Hey, how you doing?
Kill your radio for me.
I'm sorry about that. Better now?
Much.
I'm so sorry about that.
It's all right.
First and foremost, happy New Year to you both.
Happy New Year, buddy.
I don't know your take on this right now. I heard it earlier, and it really pissed me off. Carson, our future, our man, we know he's our man. Foles right now is our man, and which is fine. He's there for us. But how do you feel about dressing him right now? Or a backup.
Yeah, I think if he's healthy, I think he should be a backup.
All right. Well, this is my concern.
Okay.
The man has a fractured back.
Yeah.
Normal person, I'm not talking athlete, normal person, you're talking 3 months to heal without surgery. Now, if he gets a cheap shot, like Clowney gave Foles. What's the chances we lose our quarterback on a hit like that and we never get him back?
Yeah, again, the doctors have to make the call and they have to say that he is healthy and if he's clear. I wouldn't risk him.
Now, that's my concern. I know once as a player, he wants to be out there. He wants to show that he's still the man. We all know that.
Uh-huh.
And I think, you know, me personally, I wish he would have waited a couple more weeks beginning of the year. Just so he was 100%. I don't think he was. He didn't look like.
All right. So what if? Let me throw this at you, Mike, and then you respond. What if he really, you know, the knee was came along, but what hurt him was the back and the fractured back.
Right.
What if he had fractured his back? I don't know. Pick a game, Minnesota game. Right? October, like, you know, my man was saying.
Yeah.
So what if that happens? So now, but now he's on the mend and doctors clear him. Would you play him?
back going back that far, yeah, it was a little bit more of a rest time and more of a rest period. But I that's
well, just, they, I mean, look, they said the back was healing.
Right. I'm sorry, we have we got Keith back.
Keith
so
back, yeah.
We were originally going to do him again a little bit later on, but we have him, and it's such a pleasure to one of the great Eagles of all time, number 41, Keith Byers. Keith, we got you now?
You got me loud and clear.
Oh, awesome, buddy. Awesome. So can we start and relive the fog ball for a second? Because you got a generation of people that don't know about the fog ball. And it was such a traumatic event for all of us. Now, what was it like for you guys? Like, ultimately, what are your memories of that day?
But I'm still in the fog. I'm still in the haze. And it's been 30 years and I'm still in the haze. that's a day that would go down in infamy. I know what happened last year, you know, being the Eagles' first Super Bowl. But that should have been the Eagles' at least second or third one. Because I believe our first Super Bowl would have been in that season, 1988 season. Everything was, we were in prime, great shape. But the fog came in out of nowhere. And I'm sure everybody has probably thought of the Ten Commandments at some time in their lifetime. But that's what came through my mind. You know, like in the movie, The Ten Commandments, when the death angel comes through the city. That's what it felt like, you know, watching the fog come into the Soldier Field.
Oh, my God.
And it was like, man, what is this? This time, it wasn't like it was, you know, you wake up in the morning, there's fog outside. It was clear day. And you can see the first quarter and a half, it was clear. And then it was just like somebody let off a smoke bomb. And this fog just came over the stadium. And it was a day that I'll never forget any day of my life. And I was talking to one of my ex-teammates from college, Mike Tomczak, who was the quarterback for the Bears. You know, that day, and he sent me a picture the other day about the fog bowl.
Oh, jeez.
I said, Mike, I love you, but I know for a fact you guys had at least 13 guys on defense.
The rest couldn't count them.
They couldn't count them. Wow. They had more than 11 guys on the field. I was, you know, I'm sitting there telling the referee, you know, you got nobody to go. We can't see. And the ref told me, as long as we can see the goalposts, we're going to play.
Oh,
white goes into a white fog. I can't even see past the left tackle.
Oh,
I mean,
my
the right.
God.
I can't see Keith Jackson, the tight end. I can't see Mike Wick or Chris Carter. Right up out there, you know, the wide receivers. After we left the huddle, I could only see from the quarterback. I mean, me and Antonio in the backfield. I could only see from tackle to tackle. That's
wow.
it. And I can't see the strong safeties or the secondary. I can't see, you know, the wide receivers. And unless Keith Jackson was lined up real tight to the tackle, I couldn't see him. Now, he took his normal stance at tight end. I couldn't see him. He just blended.
Wow. Keith, when you guys got back into the locker room after the game and kind of decompressed and a plane ride back, what was the conversation like? You guys just felt like Mother Nature just robbed you guys?
Well, that was part of the discussion. You know, we knew that was our first time in the playoffs in some years. So that was my first playoff experience, you know, also. And, you know, we always, you know, knew that the playoffs were different than the regular season. You know, that was my third year in the league. And, you know, in each, you know, when you watch the NFL now, it's always the same. You got preseason football, you got regular season football, and you got playoff football. And so, then that my third year, I knew what the first two felt like, but I didn't know what playoff football. I'm like, this has got to turn it up a hint. And as well as the weather that we know that was a contributing factor in the loss, you know, we all looked into the mirror and said, what can we do, you know, to have better playoff success? Because we had never experienced that before. So to have all that combination coming together for your first playoff experience is totally just real different. But I do know this, that we knew that, even though it's 30 years later, we knew television was bigger than the game, even back then, because one of the referees, you know, they were like, we got another game to play, you know, on the networks. So the networks was like, get that game in, because we got another game starting at like 3:30 or 4.
Wow.
And they was not going to have it overlapping and delay one game. Because they made all the television sets had to watch that particular playoff game. Amber, that game was at 12 o'clock, I think, or 12:30 East Coast time, 11:30 local time in Chicago.
11:30,
like, they're all day to play a football game.
Yeah, that's crazy. You know, like, if it was today, think about it, Keith, and we're talking to the great Keith Byers. If that's today, there's no way in the world, like, because you couldn't watch it on TV. Like, watching it on TV, you're just seeing white fog.
That's it.
And they couldn't announce it either. That's
no.
the problem.
Well, nobody, if nobody had any idea. You on the field, yeah. you, how did you catch 9 passes that day?
Desire. Desire and, you know, and not wanting to lose. And muscle memory. When you run routes and pass and your timing so much, it's second nature. You know, if I'm running a route, you know, you throw the targets. Because Randall couldn't see me, but me and Randall were so in sync. He's like, I'm going to drop back fast. KB's usually open. I'm going to throw it where I normally throw it, and hopefully he catches it. And, I mean, I couldn't see. You know, Randall threw a nice fastball, nice tight spiral. And you need to see that ball from a distance. But that ball was on me in a hurry because you couldn't see it leave his hand. It was just all time around. So it was really like that movie that they got on Netflix, Bird Box. We were running in the blind.
Wow.
Just no muscle memory. Okay, I'm breaking. The ball should be here now. Boom, and the ball's there.
Wow.
Boy, that's crazy. Yeah. Keith, when you guys pulled into Soldier Field, Anthony was telling the story the other day. You guys circled Soldier Field with the buses blowing the horns. What was that experience? Yeah. Like, you guys were announcing you were there, and then Mother Nature decided to mess with you.
Yeah, exactly. remember, I think we practiced in Arizona. You know, we didn't practice in Philadelphia. We left to go to Arizona to practice in Phoenix, you know, prior to going there for the playoff game. And so we're like, we're not creeping into town. We're coming into town, horns are blazing. We're coming to play football. Yeah, that's a buddy. That was a buddy. Like, exactly. So that's why we circled the stage. We here. We're about business. And I really believe if we beat Chicago, we will go on and win the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
we would have beat San Francisco.
Yeah.
We would have.
Yeah.
It's different. We were division champs, and we were on the road. We didn't even get a home playoff game, division champ. Yeah, we're on the road.
Yeah, well, that's crazy. Why was that? Why how come?
10-6 record.
Well, I think maybe Chicago, I think it was 10-6 too, but maybe some kind of matrix with a tiebreaker kind of, you know. But division champs should get you a home game.
Yeah, that's crazy. Back then, yeah. That's insane. Hey, Keith, I'm curious. What was it? Was there the big play with Keith Jackson? Remember the big play? What was there, a penalty? Yeah. What was that? Do you remember? Because it was a game changing play.
Oh, you're talking about when Keith Jackson dropped the ball?
Oh, maybe that was it. Yeah.
That was it. They had a drop pass when right before the foul came in, when we still could see. You know, that hurt us. We had a bad call also on the fourth down we went for, and the referee leaned the flag stick. You know, he had it upright, and we had the first down by the nose of the tip, and then he tilted the flag stick right in front of me. And I think there's a picture of me on the ground like, are you kidding me?
Oh, my God.
First down. It was like, we had like first and goal. We're for a fourth down somewhere around the 12 or 13 yard line, and the referee, and it was a first down when they took the measure stick, and then they remeasured it, and he tilted the flag stick.
Wow.
I mean, I'm like, dude, quit it.
Oh, my God.
I mean, but, you know, we have less cameras, but I'm serious. The referee, he lined it and said first down, then he moved it. He said, no, stop. It's a little short by the tip of the ball.
Wow.
Like, you put the flag stick up right, it's a first down. And he tipped it and went down like, no. They said they're walking the chains off.
Oh, my God.
We went for that fourth down. We didn't get it. So that was another point off the board that we didn't get.
Oh, my goodness. So crazy.
Can you believe that? That's crazy. Perfect storm of wrong.
Yeah. We're talking.
Does that game haunts me or not?
Yeah, 30 years later. We're talking with Keith Byers on the Comcast Business Hotline. Hey, Keith, when you see the NFL today, and you eventually kind of migrated to a pseudo tight end in the NFL, you've seen what Zach Ertz was able to accomplish this year. 113 catches, I mean, he's been. You were a big guy that could catch the ball when you played as well. Talk about what you've seen out of Zach Ertz and his ability to catch the ball.
Oh, I mean, I like that. Zach has a great set of hands, and you know that's a tremendous record that he has, and that's part of the transformation of the game as far as it's a pass first, type of numbers. So I'm not surprised that he. He caught 113 passes, as you said, caught 100 balls. And that's an awesome, accomplishment. But I also think of Steve Jackson catching 81 his rookie year. And he had a lot less attempts. I think Keith may have caught 81 on about 90 attempts. Like every time he threw it to him, he caught it.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, so that's a, that was a different offense, different era. So, that's why I'd say numbers. They tell the story, but they never tell the whole story.
Yeah.
They at best only tells you half the story on, someone's greatness. And Zach Ertz is certainly, a great tight end, one of the best tight ends we've had in Philadelphia Eagle history. But I think you got also factor in the Keith Jackson was an awesome tight end.
He was like the original Antonio Gates, the down the field, he had great speed. He was like an original kind of that kind of tight end.
Well, yeah, he was, I wouldn't call him the original. We just hadn't seen it. We hadn't seen a tight end that could get deep since probably Kellen Winslow.
Right.
And Ozzie Newsome.
Right.
So sure. He was the next generation, and you really had to put, a corner on Keith if you could. But the linebacker was just wasting his time, especially when Keith lined up in the slot. And a safety or a strong safety, they had 6'2". And that's what's beauty about when me and Keith would work together, in those years, the 88, 89, we didn't, we could get to any formation out of our base offense. We wanted to go to two tight ends. Me and Keith, I would be the second tight end. If we wanted to go to three wide receivers, either me or Keith would be the third wide receiver because I would flex to the slot or Keith would flex to the slot and I would go line up a tight end. And if we wanted to go four wide, me and Keith would be the third or fourth wide receiver.
Wow.
More that's... often than not. And so that was a matchup nightmare that gave teams a shift.
That's amazing.
And,
curious.
Different game during those times.
When you sit and when you watch the Eagles Bears on Sunday, knowing that how that game impacts you, you still got to be like, come on, Eagles. I can see you like really rooting for the Eagles. And what do you think? How would you break down this one?
Well, I'm definitely, Eagle Joe. I'm gonna have my Eagle green on watching the game and all that. I'm an Eagle for life. And every time they lose, it hurts me. It doesn't hurt me as much as the current players. I hurt whenever they lose. But I think if the Eagles beat the Bears on Sunday, they got a chance of repeating. Because they got momentum going into the playoffs, which you always want. And nobody's expecting them to go in Chicago and win that football game. I mean, other than us, that's diehards. The general media doesn't think the Eagles can do it. But I believe in them. I know they're capable of winning that football game. And at this time of the season, what you need on your side more than anything is momentum. And the Eagles have that. And if that momentum continues Sunday against the Chicago Bears, New Orleans is better look out as well as the Rams, because the Bears are one of, probably one of the inside teams who are favored to the Super Bowl. But I believe the Eagles, if the Eagles get by Sunday's game, I think you can't count them out until they're out because they got the heart of a champion, and you never count a champion out.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Last question for me, Keith. When you look back and you see the Eagles have that parade last year, you know what these fans are like. They're crazy. And to finally have the elation of winning the Super Bowl last year in Minnesota was huge for this fan base. Was it almost a relief for you as well watching the fans celebrate it?
Yeah, I mean, because that was a Super Bowl for everyone. Not just the 53 guys in the locker room and the front office staff. That was truly an Eagle Nation Super Bowl. All the Philadelphia Eagles fans who live in Philadelphia, the Eagles fans who live outside of Philadelphia, and all the alumni Eagle players that was for all of us. We all, you know, felt good about that win. And, you know, I always remind people, I don't have to remind you guys, that was the Eagles' first Super Bowl, not the Eagles' first championship. Mm-hmm. You know, they're like, the Eagles have won a championship before. But, you know, they reset the clock and said, okay, now we got Super Bowls for the last 52 years. Well, you don't have any of those. But now they can't say that about the Eagles anymore. The Eagles got one of those two. They're soon to be, hopefully, number two.
Amen, know, brother. Amen.
Next couple weeks.
Yes. Yeah, we got to be in it to win it. But once you're in the tournament, you know, remember, the Giants won their last Super Bowl. I think they were 9-7.
We were just talking about it, too, bro. We were just talking about it.
So, everybody's 0-0 again. I like the Eagles.
Love it, 41. Yeah. You're a treasure, man. We appreciate it, brother.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Be well, Keith.
Happy New Year.
Happy you New too. Year, buddy. The great Keith Byers.
Yeah.
41.
So they were on the road that year. Because remember the NFL back then, if you were division champ, it went by records if you got home field in your conference. The Bears were 12-4 team that year. But the Minnesota Vikings were an 11-5 wild card team that had a home game. The Eagles were 10-6. And the 49ers and Rams were also 10-6. So the Eagles had to go on the road despite being the division champ and go face the Bears on the road, even though they were the only team. Now, the Giants that year, also 10-6, and the Saints were 10-6 that year, but didn't make the playoffs. The Giants or the Saints. It's crazy. What a crazy year that was.
Yeah, that's wild. That's the I mean, that whole thing I can remember like yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, you would never have that today. Like, you would never, because television is so strong,
mm-hmm.
there's no way in the world. And they were starting a game at 11:30.
Yeah.
Local time.
Uh-huh. It's insane.
You know what's so funny is that when you grow up with sports, how when you then go and think back to it, how antiquated things are. Like the idea of staggering. I mean, think about the bowl games, right?
Yep.
The other night, we just did the bowl games. Well, on New Year's night, it went New Year's Day. You had Rose Bowl, and then you had the Sugar Bowl, the Orange Bowl, and the Fiesta Bowl all on at the same time.
Yeah. You couldn't, they didn't stagger them at all.
No, you in fact, CBS, NBC, and ABC, they all, you know, ABC had the Orange Bowl,
mm-hmm.
CBS had the Sugar, and three had the Fiesta Bowl, and like you had to go click back and forth.
Yeah, and you didn't have a remote that had a jump button.
You had the box.
Yeah, you had to go up and fiddle with the box.
Was the first round of the NFL playoffs always Saturday, Sunday games?
Yeah, I always remember
wild card weekend. Oh, yeah. Because college is over. Yeah. Because college football. Now, there's a couple times where if New Year's Day falls on a Saturday, they would change things because they didn't want the NFL games to go against the college bowl games back then. But I remember you always start your morning with the Rose Bowl parade. That was the morning, right?
Isn't that amazing.
Yeah. I mean,
well, we started with the mummers, but
yeah. Yeah, yeah. And then roll right into your bowl day. But you're right. You had to toggle to watch all those bowl games.
I go back to it. Like it's funny. During a regular season, it was always 1-4, mm-hmm. right? So then the playoffs, it was 12:30 and 4.
Uh-huh.
And now, like, they finally, like, wake up where it's 12:30. Is it still 12:30?
What, on Sunday?
Yeah.
No, I think it's
1 and 4:30?
4:40 is the Eagles game.
Right.
So, yeah, the game time on Sunday, is the first game's at 1:05 and then 4:40. And then Saturday, it's 4:35 and 8:15.
Right. So, like, now the advent of prime time.
Huh?
But you're right. Like, it's right. The Saturday wild card game
mm-hmm.
was 12:30 Saturday.
Yeah, and it made no sense. Like, all year it was 1 o'clock. Now you back it up a half hour.
Well, they wanted to make sure that the game went long.
The buffer.
Right.
Yeah.
You had it. But who... Like what they should have done is move the late game later.
Yeah, and the reason they do that is because the playoff game can go on in perpetuity because you don't just play one overtime period and it ends. You know?
You know what's funny, too? Like, back then, you know, 60 minutes had more power than the NFL. So it was like, you got to be done by 60 minutes.
Yep.
And now it's like...
Followed by Murder, She Wrote.
Right.
Back in your summer all saying it.
Murder, She
Wrote. And all new 60 minutes... followed by Angela Lansbury in Murder, She Wrote. He was always teasing that for CBS, right? Classic. That's true.
And think about it, like, back then, football, what, like, now football's the driver. We saw the ratings, it's stunning, right? The top, like, 15 shows, ratings-wise, all NFL.
Yep, all NFL. And it was, and they weren't even close to anything else.
They dwarf everything else.
Yeah. 610.
No, it's like, go ahead, run, doesn't matter, 60 minutes, whatever.
Yeah, 60 minutes.
They'll show it
46 minutes tonight.
At 9:30. Yeah.
610-632-0975. Great to talk to Keith Byers.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.